Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
The fastest way to a trillionaire's bank account is by murder most foul.
Okay.
We wait, we accelerate, and then we strike.
I like that. Yeah, let's kill Jeff Bezos.
He's got trials and it seems to me.
With Adam Scott and his family?
Welcome to the worst idea of all time, episode numero 9. The boys are back in town, which is to say, they're with each other.
That's
the boys
right.
are back with the boys.
Fucking knee to knee, eye to eye, nose to nose.
He's in close.
The fellas are riding side saddle, and don't it feel good? Now, yes. For the last hour and 45 minutes, not so much. What you learn when you watch Home Alone 3 with your friend Tim Batt is the problem lies with the movie. It doesn't lie within. You might have thought it lies within, but it doesn't lie within. It lies in...
Are you saying within or with him?
Within.
Oh, okay, cool.
I mean, you might have some problems.
I got my number of issues.
Hey, you got a bone to pick with me, bruh?
No, dude. No, we're good here. Look,
are you and me cool?
We're doing fabulously well, I think. I'm just here to talk about Home Alone 3. I don't want no trouble. I'm here to focus on Alex Pruitt, Stucky's men, and maybe a little side... discussion about some mice, smart parrot, fireworks.
You want to talk animals? Well, so long as we are talking Home Alone 3, which it seems to be is the reason we've all gathered here today in this conference room.
If anyone has any reason for Guy and myself in Home Alone 3 to not be together, please
speak
up now or forever hold your peace.
That's right. We are getting married as a throuple.
We are together forever.
We're not just marrying the franchise. We're marrying all the characters contained therein. Tim and I need to spice things up in the bedroom. Who better to introduce than Mrs. Hess?
She's the Hess around. She lives next door in the town.
She's the Hess around. She's going to take you down to Brown Town. Ass play is in and it's back. That's right.
Where did it go?
Well, I don't know. But since 1997,
yeah,
my asshole's been dry as a bone. We get Mrs. Hess back in the building, all of a sudden things heat up.
Spit or lube?
Spit, while technically not lube,
yes.
Creates a wonderful intimate... I mean, I'd have to ask her, but I'm happy with spit.
Cool. Oh, no, she's pegging you. Let's get one thing straight.
Yeah.
Mrs. Hess is a giver, not a receiver.
And she's spitting on my ring. Jesus Christ, it's good to see you. I apologize for being so disgusting so quickly. If we are talking Mrs. Hess, though, there is a line she keeps saying in the movie that it's a gag line, I guess.
I left my bread in San Francisco.
She says that. You hate that. You were furious about that. But she says, what do you want, a Wilkie button? When Ribbons and Beaupre... They see you.
Last name basis. I love it.
Yeah.
What are we assembling, a football team with these criminals?
We're assembling a crack team of people who are going to pull off a heist at the Bellagio Casino.
I love this.
The twist. I happen to know for a fact that Danny Ocean's getting his guys to pull the job on the same night.
Oh my God. This is Monty's 5 versus Ocean's 11. Who would win?
Well, we've populated ourselves entirely with the cast of Home Alone 3, who we now have both legal and another kind of rights too? Or do you just need legal rights?
What are we talking about now? You've lost me.
What I'm telling you,
we're
Tim,
married to the film. We're robbing a casino with the film.
Tim
we're Bat, talking about
Guy
the film.
Montgomery, Mrs. Hess,
yeah.
Beaupre, Unger, Ribbons, yep. Jernigan.
Yeah. Timbo?
Pruitt. Yeah, you were in first, buddy.
Sweet. Oh, sick. Yeah, cool.
And Stucky.
Yeah.
Maybe the Amnesia Agents.
Dude.
We're going head-to-head with Danny Ocean and the lads tomorrow night. The Bellagio Casino, Las Vegas,
I like this
California.
Here's why. You would think that Stucky is not aligned with the criminals, and that's the beauty of this. It's like they've got to team up together to take down the baddie. It's like Ocean's 12.
We're in charge here. If these guys don't want to work together, but they have to. There's also some sort of legalese where it's like Beaupre and Stucky, even though Stucky's been looking for him for 7 years, they can be together, they can be in the same room, but at the conclusion of the heist, Stucky has to give Beaupre a head start to run free. He can't just arrest him at the end of it. It's like they're both operating under the good faith that while they disagree fundamentally, and Stucky's been looking for Beaupre for 7 years, as long as they're robbing the Bellagio to try and stop dastardly Danny Ocean and his team, they're going to work together.
Who do you think would be more successful in robbing a casino, the pals from Home Alone 3 or the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Because the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles have obviously got the advantage of knowing ninjutsu to a very high level, but they also kind of stick out in a crowd because they're giant turtles.
Yeah. You know, I call them the Teenage Mutant Ninja Virgins. I reckon...
You can't even use that joke anymore because people have seen the pilot now.
Yeah, I can still use it. I was the one who said it. It's my goddamn joke.
You've retired it. You've burned the material.
No, the joke lives on. I think the turtles... We've just seen a body of evidence that suggests we've recruited the wrong team.
Nah.
This heist is going to go poorly for us. We're up against it. Have you seen Danny Ocean and his crew? Those are some top-level crooks. They know what they're doing. They know their business. We've got four incompetents. We've got Pruitt. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
He's a fucking strong hand. He's
fucking
a dab hand with the tech.
Unabomber Jr. over here. But the villains are immortal. They get hit with so much shit. And they barely have a scratch on them by the... I mean, they're frozen and contorted in a very odd shape when they get dragged off by the FBI.
That's right. Beautiful little rule of three there by Hughes. As we see the three underlings to Beaupre being walked out, marched out by the cops, you observed it very accurately. You said, funny.
Very funny. Hilarious.
And what he's describing would be Jernigan, frozen, little sort of
like
ice tutu, and a sort of white face from being frozen in the water.
Who's Bill Unger.
Unger, funnier still. He's wearing the funny costume that he's fucking put on or whatever the hell. And
frozen cold.
He's frozen cold. He's a bit funny. He's a bit more of a slapstick figure, isn't he?
He is. He's good.
Jernigan's funny in the way that he plays it straight. Unger's funny in quite an out-and-out physical comedy slapstick kind of way.
Yes.
He's true to the character as well. There's a real good bit of characterization. We've talked about it quite early on, but the way that he sort of believes in the enterprise of the criminals, but also entirely in being true to himself. He calls out Jernigan when he gets his knees taken out.
Yeah.
When they go to the airport and they're looking for the bag, he's very open about the fact that he was in the John taking a piss.
Mm.
When they're at Pruitt's house looking for Pruitt, he's fucking eating whatever's in the pantry, presumably the disgusting-looking PB&J. The nasty stuff that's left out by...
Did you think the PB&J was bad for a PB&J? I thought our discussion was centered around how bad PB&J is as a concept. But that sandwich wasn't a bad example of the form.
Well, the J is jelly.
Yeah.
And one of the big differences between New Zealand and America is that we don't have jelly here. It's not a concept. We have jam. And when you're buying jam, it's usually closer to the fruit than the jelly is to the... like.
It also comes in a fucking jar.
To me,
that's why we call them jam jars.
Yeah, to
dudes.
Me, jelly kind of looks like... I imagine the flavouring similar to what you'd get in bubble gum, like grape hubba bubba. Whereas fucking jam over here, you can see the seeds. If you're buying the right stuff, you can see the fucking seeds of the fruit that the jam is inspired by. Or made from.
Inspired by. We just got the seeds to offset all of the artificial flavouring and contents of this condiment.
Yeah, I don't doubt that there are good jars of jam in America.
Yeah, they're out there, but
What are they called? Farmer's market.
Yeah, what are they called though? The supermarket that's like a farmer's market, but it ain't
a deli.
No, it's a chain. Come on now.
Oh, fucking Whole Foods.
Yeah, dog.
Yeah.
You got to go to a Whole Foods to get the proper
stuff. One thing
stuff.
We've got to do Mm-mm. as a society is continue to line the pockets of Jeff Bezos.
Yes, please.
Forecasts have him making $1 trillion by 2026. Why the fuck don't we speed that up? Why don't we shove a couple more $100 bills inside of those pockets while we can?
People have misinterpreted the news story that he's going to be a trillionaire by 2026. It's not a warning. It's a call to arms to try and beat the prediction.
That's right.
We've got to enrich this man.
He's the closest thing we've got to a trillionaire.
He's the closest thing we've got to a god. We're living in unholy times. We needed to pick a divine figure, and it may as well be him.
Stop hogging your money.
Give it to Bezos, you godless shits.
You know what really pisses me off? When I see people buying local, when I see someone walking into a business that they believe in and spending a dollar to contribute towards the world that they want to continue to live in. Ugh. Hey, here's an idea. Take it easy on the Java and send whatever the fuck is in your bank account to Amazon.com. You know, or better yet, find Jeff Bezos' home address. Walk out there, put it in his letterbox. You bag of shit.
Yeah, you got to give that chick a kiss and put it in the mailbox there. You know what I think's a better idea?
What?
Fucking just give the money over and explicitly it has to go to those Amazon server farms, baby. We're going to get that AI crack-a-lackin' that's under the control of a man who has a terrible reputation for human rights.
If you continue to say AI long enough, what does it become? Angels. Bezos is God. AI is angels. Okay. This guy is building a future that I want to live in.
It's angelic.
And the way that you're hogging your money... People say they got rent to pay. People say they got to buy their groceries. Guess what?
Do you know what I have to say to that? Hey, fuck up, man. We're trying to build a church here.
Yeah, the Church of Bezos. What I wouldn't give to fucking kiss that rubbery head, to ladle that son of a bitch with gifts and dollar bills.
You're not allowed to even lay eyes on him in real life, man. That is forbidden. He is divine.
Do you know, Jeff Bezos, instead of cheating on his wife and settling whatever the unholy amount of money was for that divorce, probably could have solved world hunger.
How cool is that?
So I went into my room and read your diary. Weezer! What do you feel like being next to me?
It's really good. I hate the movie. Mm. I hate Home Alone 3, man. It's always sucked. Hey. It sucked pretty consistently.
Yeah. Well, it was great once.
It was disappointing originally, and now it's just fucking boring.
It is boring. Well, you know what? We can spice things up. We can throw a couple of shining lights in the mix.
Here it comes. It's the 911 operator. She's got style. She's got class. She's got acting ability coming out of her face, which we see on camera for 4 seconds. I like her a lot. She's great.
You had me going.
Naturalistic acting. Believable. It's not over the top. She's accepting the call with calm and grace from a young man who is distressed. And she's handling it in all the right ways.
There is an extra in O'Hare Airport before they get on a plane and land back at O'Hare Airport. They're in San Francisco. The crooks have just discovered their bag is on the loose. The juice is loose and he's fucking driving down the freeway in a white Bronco. And as they walk...
What year did that happen?
Mid-90s.
So that might have been right around the time of this film. That would have been a fun insert if OJ was in this movie.
We said it last time, they're missing Michael Jordan. Another big American sports star, crossover acting star that we're missing.
OJ. The MJ. Juice. We need every acronymed celebrity of the mid-90s in this film.
We also need BJ Novak. We need AJ Green, the Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver, who has a sore toe right now, but the season's not going to go ahead anyway.
DJ Tanner. I'm talking Full House. Oh. Get her in there.
Fuck, fill that house up. But there's a featured extra who's over the shoulder of the guy. If you're looking at the screen, he's on the
left. I'm looking.
He is a black actor, and he is probably one of the best actors in the entire movie. This guy is really...
For that reason.
...in an airport. I mean, it doesn't hurt. For a myriad of reasons. But he's really in the airport. And while he's like, he's in the airport, he's aware that there are 4 people with a problem in front of him.
Yes.
It's not his problem.
Yeah.
He's got his own journey to carry on with.
Plus all the flights are... are they cancelled at
that
point?
No, they're not cancelled. They're all
going. G at that point.
The timeline in the airport is a disaster. You rightly bring up the fact that they are barely following Mrs. Hess, who is already running late to her flight.
Mm.
They figure out she's going to Chicago, and they all decide they're going to Chicago. Somehow wind up on the same plane.
Okay, Mrs. Hess is about about to miss the flight because she's running so late getting from one part of O'Hare to the other. They somehow, they don't even have tickets to the flight and somehow get on the same flight. They must, because how else would they be able to be
they are,
that
they get on
close
the same flight
to the,
at the gangway when she gets out.
Plus also, why didn't they take the opportunity when they're on the fucking plane with her to get that car? That's when you nab it.
One hundo, bro.
Like, fuck this whole movie, dude. You do it in the plane.
Also, when Mr. Unger is scouting the departures board, the time very clearly reads 4:41 p.m. Uh-huh. All of a sudden, yep, when they're looking at the board to realize that they have to get on a flight boarding now for Chicago, it's 10 a.m. When they land, they approach a cab driver, some fucking rusty old bag of bones.
It's Stan Lee,
who
man.
Folds like a house of cards as soon as they put any pressure on him. This would be a very different movie if that cab driver said that's a breach of client confidentiality. I'm not
Which
telling
it
you where
is.
I dropped. Yeah, I'm not telling you where that woman went. But anyway, Mr. Jernigan says at 1420 hours,
Save
you had
sister.
A client. By the way,
420.
Blaze it. Mm-hmm. No, 1620, he says.
Yeah, that's 420.
Yeah. But I said 1420. I meant 1620.
Oh, okay. Yes, yeah.
I don't want anyone smoking weed at 2:20.
No, that's not allowed because it's an illegal drug.
It's
but at 4:20, stroke
too
off.
Too early in the afternoon or too early in the morning, but it's not a time for weed. It's time for reflection.
2:20 is actually not a bad time for weed if it's 8:00.
It's a time to take your money out of your bank account, put it in an envelope.
Well, it's time to take a break. Withdraw some cash, give it to Bezos. He's a god who we love. For he loves us with our cash. He'll take over with AI and destroy us in a moment. But for now, we enrich a trillionaire who walks among the scum that is us.
Yeah, fuck yeah, bro. That's his song.
That's what it's all about. The self-loathing of us not being trillionaires.
That is exactly what, and that's what Jeff Bezos realizes.
Yes.
He's got a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be recognized as the god he is. Anyway, the timeline on this movie is absolute chaos. Mm. Like, it's 4:41 p.m. All of a sudden, it's 10 a.m. All of a sudden, there's a cab leaving in Chicago, which actually, with the timeline that they're in San Francisco and flying east, that does make sense, I think. I don't know how long the flight from San Fran to Chicago is, but I know that... I imagine
Five
Chicago's
hours?
Like 3 hours ahead. So if you leave at 10 a.m., it's already 1 p.m. in Chicago.
Okay, we've got a difference of 2 hours, maybe.
So if you had four... No, it doesn't... None of it makes sense.
Train
none of it
the
makes
station
sense.
From Chicago, O'Hare.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
John Hughes hadn't done his research.
John Hughes isn't responsible for this. He wrote the script. He didn't direct it. That's our man, Raja. I forget his last name. That's not his last name.
The script is hugely responsible for what happens in a movie.
You don't write in the script, every clock in the airport reads 4:41.
But when they,
well, you know what, we shouldn't lay this at the feet of the director.
Why?
Whoever the fuck was in charge of continuity needs a very stern talking to.
Unless there was no one in charge of continuity, in which case it comes back to Raja.
Do you know? No, they would come back to a producer for budgeting correctly to make sure that they had someone for continuity. But I'll tell you what.
You got me there.
We wouldn't be running into this problem if we had AI on continuity.
Fucking A, man.
Program those robots to fucking look for continuity.
Yep.
Movie's going to be a lot better.
They're good with patterns. It's their favorite thing.
They love it.
Making order and sense out of things is what they're there to do.
What does robot mean? What does the word mean?
It originates from a Czech word meaning slave. It originated in a play from the 30s, I believe. So it's kind of recent.
That is quite recent.
Lexicon.
Well, I just thought I'd circle back to what I was saying at the very start.
I can't believe you weren't impressed I had that top of mind. I didn't even Google that. Come on, man.
I am impressed. I'm constantly impressed.
The word robotics, on the other hand, was created by... I've forgotten his name. It's so bad. Isaac Asimov.
Nice.
Mm.
Shout out, shout out to friend of the podcast.
He's a podcast himself, Isaac Asimov.
Yeah, listen to his podcast, Robotics. It's all about how he came up with the word.
It's how he's furious about Will Smith destroying his legacy of iRobot by creating a movie with the same name and an opposite moral.
Yeah.
Do you know about that shit, man? Have I got on this soapbox before? Because the book iRobot is full of short stories which put forward the notion that Asimov was so fond of. He was a sci-fi writer, amongst many other things. Kind of a philosopher of his day, which wasn't that long ago. He was around in like the 70s, I think. He died in the 80s, I think. He used to go on cruise ships a lot. Anyway,
how the fuck about these asides, everybody?
Was that... he was seeing all these sci-fi and horror and fiction stories that were in the mood of Frankenstein, that humans would create something that would destroy us. And he's like, that's not what we do, though. We build a toaster. Toasters don't hurt us. We build safeguards around the toaster. We would do the same with robots. So what is iRobot all about? It's about the fun little problems that get presented by some robots who have to obey the commands of their human masters unless it conflicts with the second law, which is, you know, you can't hurt a human, and defending themselves as long as it doesn't conflict with the first two laws of robotics.
Mm.
And so you get some crazy and wacky situations.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Two roboticists who go around the solar system trying to fix up these problems. But at no point are humans in danger from the bots, because that's not what it's about. And then they made iRobot, and it's about kill robots because we learned nothing from the original author. When will we learn?
Well, hopefully pretty soon, as soon as we get that money out of your pockets and into the pockets of Bezos.
Bezos, he's the boy for us. That's how he got his name.
While we're here, in a singing mood, I might say this. Stuck in the middle with you.
I liked your one better, though.
Well,
do you remember it?
Yeah, I do. But I think of it as like a BoJack Horseman situation. Why does a show only need to have one theme song? BoJack Horseman has two theme songs, and they both absolutely fucking slap. There's
Hell
the
yeah.
opening number, which is boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
And there's the closing one, which is back in the night. That's so cool to have two theme shows. Also, it helps establish the mood that you want to introduce people to the world of the show in and leave them with.
What happened to Group Love? Where are they now? They had such a cool album, and then they did the BoJack Horseman end credit song, and then I never heard from them again.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I liked them.
Seems weird. I definitely haven't been hanging out with them, talking about you, so don't ask any questions about that.
So strange that you point that out. Let's talk about Stucky.
Anyway.
I've introduced the third tune.
Some agents are sharp, some agents are blunt, but you've never seen such a useless cunt as Stucky. It's Stuck with Stucky.
Nice. What's happening with Stuck with Stucky?
Well,
this episode?
Stucky marches into the office. As you remember, he ran into a whole host of problems. Because
what do we know about Stucky? We know he's in one of the only three remaining high-rise buildings in Chicago.
No, it's in the FBI headquarters, which you seem to know was in...
Langley.
Langley, which is where?
You got me there, dude.
I'm going to get it.
I think it's Maryland. Is that a state?
Yeah, it is. Maryland is a state.
I
think the biggest place in Maryland is Baltimore. Langley. Oh, fuck. I'll tell you where else Langley is.
Baltimore.
In Auckland.
Oh, true. We want
Langley is an unincorporated community in the census-designated place of McLean in Fairfax County, Virginia, United States. Virginia. Langley is often used as a metonym for the Central Intelligence Agency.
Oh,
it's home
CIA,
to its headquarters,
FBI. I have
the
wrong...
George Bush Center for Intelligence.
God damn it.
FBI HQ. Here we go. Let's fucking course correct here.
Okay.
It doesn't need to be this hard.
Let's correct the record.
Where else do you think, brother? Washington, D.C. in the United States of America.
It's not even a state.
Can you tour Quantico FBI? Yes, you can tour the FBI Education Center, but visits require up to a month of advance notice. The FBI requires up to a month of advance notice from congressional officers prior to your visit. This is because the FBI will perform a security check on all visitors. The visit itself will take about 2 hours.
You what else is happening in that building. So me and a member of Congress require the same amount of notice to give the FBI when we're dropping by. Call me crazy, but I reckon an elected representative at the federal level should be able to check on those cats and see what they're doing.
Hiya, crazy. I'm Dad. Okay. Stucky walks into the office. He's run into some pretty fucking troubling times the day before. As you recall, his charges pushed all the buttons on the lift. They're walking
That's
all higgledy-piggledy. They're strewn throughout the high-rise.
Oh, they've ruined some meetings.
This next morning, Stucky has corralled them like herding cats into the same elevator. He's pushed button number 34, the 34th floor. He's somehow got them all into the bullpen. The amnesia agents are congregated. And he has in his suit pocket a roll of those hello, my name is stickers.
Nice. That's so what you want for an amnesia-ridden squad.
He starts
squad.
Walking around the bullpen, and he's got a Vivid. Mm-hmm. He looks up. Mm-hmm. He sees Greg. He writes down, hello, my name is, and he fills out Greg. He puts it on Greg. He looks up next. He sees Rhonda. He writes down Rhonda. He puts it on Rhonda. He moves on to Sean, the next agent. Hmm. Unbeknownst to Stucky, Rhonda and Greg look at each other and say, hi, Greg. Hi, Rhonda. And decide, for reasons that are somewhat unclear, to swap stickers. Stucky continues writing down every single agent's name and planting it on their chest, potentially creating, you know, an instance for all sorts of HR complaints to come up because it's a huge broach of personal boundaries. But it's 1997. This guy's got a lot on already.
Yeah.
It's the least of his worries.
Totally.
By the time he's labeled every single person, he has not noticed what was happening. He turns around and sees the entire bullpen of his 14 amnesia agents shaking hands, introducing themselves to each other in different names and putting the stickers on different places.
This is great.
This is absolute anarchy.
I love this show, man. I wish the show was on for 1,000 years and I could just plunk it on and watch that until I died.
Stuck with Stuggy forever and ever. Honestly, that's all I've come up with so far for this episode, so feel free to take the reins.
Here's what I'm thinking. That's an episode. We're done. That's a great nice vignette. I think we should put the script writing challenge to the Bezos AI. I think we give it the first few sample scripts that you've written, like 5 eps, and then we go, now it's your bag. And we just let Amazon do what Amazon does best, which is take over our responsibilities.
I tell you another thing Amazon does best.
What?
Take our money.
Yeah, dude.
Take my fucking money.
I'm begging you.
Stuck with Stucky is honestly such an airtight premise. It does get me excited.
Yeah. I think we should film some, which is just the kind of blank check style thing I would say to give myself a good commitment.
You want to do it.
Sometimes you got to push yourself into something or else nothing gets done, you know? You know what I'm saying?
Dude, do I feel that? Hold on, let me check. Do I feel that? Yeah, I feel that pretty fucking hard,
yeah,
my brother.
Yeah, you do, because speaking, that is the entire premise of a podcast we've been doing for half a dozen
years. Importantly, speaking of commitments and their expiries.
You're going to marry me. I regret to inform you I'm already taken. See this ring?
Yeah.
It's from
married
my wife.
To Home Alone 3 and your wife. No, I was going to say that the fact that Tim and I are sitting side saddle right now discussing Home Alone 3 does represent not the end of our emergency season, but the penultimate episode. There's one more that we've got in the reserves for you. We're going to fucking do it again. We're going to director's commentary the shit out of this. John and Hughes, Burton and Jernigan, Earl and Unger. We're gonna give you one more, but I just want to put it on the record right now in front of you and however many witnesses are listening right now. Mm-hmm. We will not stop creating content, but we will stop watching Home Alone 3.
Yeah,
and that
man,
is
that's
in the best
sure.
interests of everyone.
Yeah, totally, man. You, me, everyone listening. No more Home Alone 3. I hate it, but I love the fact that we're going to get to double digits.
Yeah.
Because it would feel like cheating everyone, including ourselves, if we just did 9 of these. What is that? It's nothing. You got to get past the first post.
I mean, I got to tell you, the way I feel right now, it's still quite a lot.
You it's think enough, 9 is enough?
It's enough to have an impact.
Nah. 9's nothing.
But so I've seen you on a social call before this, since laws changed in New Zealand that allowed people to see one another. The whole drive here, full of excitement, a song in my heart, a spring in my step, a sparkle in my eye. Today, as I drove over to your house on a crisp autumnal afternoon in Auckland, New Zealand, I was loaded with dread. I thought, this is a lifestyle I remember. It's a lifestyle I did not miss.
I know, man. That's what kept hitting me when we were watching. I was like, that's right. That's what this podcast feels like. Because when I was watching it by myself, it wasn't like it was pleasant by any stretch of the imagination, but it was sort of on a different shelf. And now it's back in the shelf of, like, I have the unique displeasure of hanging out with my friend but not getting to, because there's this annoying third party that won't shut the fuck up, requiring both of our attention. It's like looking after a toddler that is incredibly dangerous, and you've got to constantly be hiding anything remotely sharp or something that they could use that would fall on them. That's at, like, grasp level. It's just so annoying.
Yeah. I think I would rather hang out with a dangerous toddler than Home Alone 3.
Yeah, that's just good, clean entertainment, isn't it?
Yeah, that's good fun.
Watch them dodge knives.
Yeah. Take a hands-off approach.
Yeah, man. Just let nature
take
its
course. I like to do when I'm about to look after a dangerous toddler is leave a handful of loose knives around various different edges, precariously balanced.
Yeah. How tall is that toddler? How tall is your toddler?
Just tall enough to reach them on tippy toes, which means that there's no extremity control. Yeah, if they touch the knives, balance. They're not grasping the knives. They're just tipping the knives.
I hate this. I hate this mental image. I won't entertain it any further.
But now, don't worry. The knives are all made of Play-Doh. It's adorable.
Let me float something to you. And okay. I may regret putting this on the podcast.
Fucking try me.
Cast in stone. What do you think about, after we do the director's commentary, just a little one-off, we watch one of the original Home Alones, probably the first one?
Dude, I love it.
Fantastic.
That would be so much fun.
Yes,
in fact,
sick.
I feel like we might have discussed it in passing before.
Oh,
I
cool.
say we rock the house with a Home Alone 1 and a Home Alone 2.
Yeah.
Bonus eps, Patreon only. So if you listen to this for free, suck it up. Take some money out. Give 99.9% of it to Bezos. Yes. Whatever's left over, chuck it in the Patreon. You can hear us enjoy watching fantastic movies.
We'll do the same, though. So this is kind of like a chain letter. Whatever we get, 99.9% is going to Amazon.
Yeah.
But 0.1%.
You remember those chain letters you used to get when you were in high school? And
Absolutely.
It was like, if you don't forward this to 10 people, your crush will never look at you.
They would rip through the community of Christchurch like a plague because everyone was so fucking bored. It was like, send $5 to 8 people on this list and you'll be a millionaire. And I was going, yes, this checks out. I know how to invest.
You know who's in the first chain letter?
Bezos.
Fucking A.
Dude, yes. That's how he did it. Capitalism, baby. It ain't nothing but a chain letter.
You know what happens as soon as Jeff Bezos becomes a trillionaire?
What? We have to reset?
We're going to have to kill him.
Ah.
The fastest way to a trillionaire's bank account is by murder most foul.
Okay. Murder.
We wait. We accelerate. And then we strike.
Okay. I like that. Yeah, let's kill Jeff Bezos. You and me.
Yeah.
Let's murder him.
The mad lads. Jeff, if you're listening, which I hope you're not, we're coming for you. We'll find your address. And non-lethal weapons, by the way. It's going to be a really sort of low-key killing.
Oh, what's low-key killing in your book? Because it all seems pretty intense, you know, ending a life to me. Like a poison? Like a poison
thing? Yeah, yeah. Hands off.
Him.
Hands off, you know.
Doesn't always go well, though. Just remember, rah-rah-rah Rasputin.
Oh.
Fuck, they tried, but the man just kept drinking tea.
Yeah.
And then they shot him a bunch. And then they rolled him up in a rug and threw him off a bridge and kept his penis.
What do you know about was his penis massive?
Huge. Legendarily big.
Is it in a museum?
It's apparently in several, depending on which museums you are.
That's how big it is.
Yeah. There's a bunch of
museums. You
can
walk the Rasputin penis trail between several of the world's most glittering museums.
That's right. And two of his testicles. There's one at either end of his big old dick.
Well, I can't think of a better place to stop talking about any of this than right now.
Bye!
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.